Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
How's it, guys? We're doing a bit of tag and just a couple of thoughts that I want to give. And then we want to encounter God, don't we? That's why we're here. I'm not impressed by my thoughts anymore. I used to be at one stage, but honestly, I'm not impressed by my own thoughts anymore. I want to know what he's thinking. I just want to know what he's thinking all the time. Because when I tap into his thoughts, it changes the way I live and it changes the way that I think. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story of a lady who has been sick for 12 years. She spent every cent that she's had on doctors. The condition's grown worse, and so she's sick, she's poor, she's discouraged. That's a bleak place to be. And the scriptures say that she heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She heard the reports. She heard the reports. It's as though God is shouting out to the church at the moment, and we on the other side are hearing his reports. We're hearing about him. We're hearing from him. There's the invitation to come closer. The reason we asked Mark to kick off tonight on intimacy is because that's where everything is birthed from. Tomorrow morning, I'm the most excited about, we're doing three sessions tomorrow. I'm the most excited about the first one tomorrow, where Cheryl, my wife, and a close friend of ours, Lee, and her hubby, Rory, are here. And Lee and Cheryl are going to be tagging tomorrow morning, first session. And again, hitting this thing of identity. Because when you get that, you get everything else. And there's this sense of God taking us back to hearing his reports. Do you remember when you were first saved? You just couldn't get enough of God. That first week or month, it was like, your whole life, your understanding of God just totally changed. And it was, I don't know what it was like for you, but wherever God was, whatever he was doing, I wanted to be at. It's the same sense. You've heard the reports of God. You just want to be with him all the time. So she hears the report. She touches his garment. She gets healed. But the interesting thing is, as she gets healed, Jesus feels power going from his body. And if there was a little topic for this chat, it would be this, that you and I leak the presence of God. We leak. We receive in order to give. We receive so that we can become strong, intimate with him. But it's essential that we learn not only to receive, but to give. And I've been thinking and praying into this weekend, and there's two, if there are two things we want to accomplish this weekend, it would be this. One, that we would have an opportunity to encounter God again. And we're going to give that opportunity to all of us in a minute. But the second is as important, that we would have the encounter and be equipped in helping other people to have encounters. I think the Lord's focusing on that thing in the church right now. I think what he's unraveling to the church is this understanding that not only can we have an encounter with him on an ongoing basis, but we can actually give these encounters away to other people. I'm not sure if you get that, because I'm not sure if I get it. It feels like we're starting to get it as the church. It's possible for you and I not only to have these encounters with God. And when we talk about encounters, don't get nervous. If you're from that kind of background that maybe is a little more conservative, and maybe you've seen some stuff in the church when it comes to the Holy Spirit and praying for one another and these signs and wonders and miracles, and maybe people falling when they get prayed for, or the odd person doing, you know, the shake, rattle, and roll in church. And if you've seen that and that makes you a little bit nervous, you never need to be nervous of God. So don't worry about that. Don't worry is that going to happen to me? Am I going to become undone? Am I going to be embarrassed? Like Marty said, that'll never happen. It's not in the nature of God to do that ever. And when we talk about encounters, we're not only talking about that stuff, although if it happens, it is so cool. But an encounter with God is just becoming more like Him. It's having your devotions in the morning and experiencing Him again. Revelation from the Bible and wanting to be closer to Him, that's an encounter. I was telling the guys just now when we were praying, I've just had this planter's wart seen to. Have any of you had a planter's wart? It's really uncomfortable. It's a wart on your foot. And it's like the stone that just keeps pricking your foot. It's dreadful. And I went to the doc a day or two ago to try and get this thing sorted. And as I'm lying there, he's busy trying to figure out what to do with this ugly wart. And as I'm lying there, I'm thinking, I can adjust the atmosphere of this medical center. That's not arrogance. That's confidence. I, through my faith and through your faith, wherever we go, have the potential to adjust the climate, to adjust the atmosphere. So I started to pray for the room next door and the physio down the road and the OT, whatever, whoever was there. Lord, would you just allow what's in me to permeate into this place? And we don't always see the fruit of that. We don't always know what happens. But we know, because God is huge and He's in us, that when you let Him out, things happen. It's amazing. It's amazing how the Spirit of the Lord in us is so big and so powerful that at work you can change the climate. You can change the atmosphere. If you walk into a room and it's depressive, someone comes in and you pick up just this heaviness, you can change it just under your breath. You don't have to do anything externally, but who you carry and what you carry adjusts things around you. Because that's what happened with Jesus. He walked, and as He was walking, a lady grabbed onto His garment, and because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was so strong in Him, as it is in you and I, it's the same Spirit. It's no different. Same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is in us. So that same Spirit, or the Holy Spirit in Him, leaked out of Him. Someone grabbed onto His garment, anticipating healing. And she got it. And we can do that. We can do that. And I think what the Lord is wanting to do is He's wanting us to realize that not only can we get close to Him, but we can help others to get close to Him. I think it's you quoted it, or you quoted someone else who said it. I have an encounter so that I can become an encounter, so that I can help others to have an encounter. And if the church will begin to realize that we can change a world, we're doing good. I was saying again earlier, and I've been telling the church, and I think our church sometimes thinks I'm crazy, but you can't apologize for what you consider to be truth. I honestly think that you and I can change a world. I'm just convinced of that. I wasn't a while back. But I am now, and I'm convinced my family can change a world. We have 3 kids, 9, 12, and 15. Got it right. And I'm convinced my kids can change a world. And I'm convinced our beautiful church, Encounter Church, can change Bolito. I'm just convinced. When I drive around Bolito, there's the sense, you love the city, Lord. And honestly, I've told the church, I've fallen in love with our city. I'm so grateful for that, because I hadn't until January last year. I've always loved Bolito, but I can honestly say I've fallen in love with the city because it's my city. And if love starts in your community and in your home, love starts at Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be witnesses in Jerusalem and all the rest. And I'm so grateful. Honestly, it was at a leaders' camp at the beginning of last year. I said to the church, I've fallen in love with Bolito. It was a supernatural thing God did. I love my city. And I honestly believe that Bolito can change a world. The believers in Bolito. not only Encounter Church, but Link Church and Grace Church and Olive Tree and CRC and every church that's there, if we have the same conviction that we can impact a world, we can impact a world. But someone's got to believe it. And I think the church is starting to believe that. So wherever we go, there's this anticipation, something's going to happen. Tomorrow, we're focusing on equipping you. Tonight, we're trusting for encounters. Tomorrow morning again. But then we want to equip you in how to go and do this thing. Most of tomorrow is going to be on that. It's going to be just basic stuff. We've all done it before, but we're going to do it again. Because when the church begins to catch this thing and live in it, that's when we change the world. Here's a little comment to those who preach. It is my conviction that I need to find my notes. You teacher types, us preachers, be careful of priding yourself into leading people to knowledge only. All knowledge of God should lead people to His presence. Someone once said this, and it scared the daylights out of me. He said, the problem with many theologians is that they're not in love. And I think it's true. I think some theology has come from men and women that aren't in love with God. And so we get great instruction as we read these wonderful commentaries and all sorts of things around that. I'm so for those things. That is the truth. But I want to hear someone's revelation like this man, because I know the amount of time he spends with the Lord. And when I'm researching and I'm wanting to grow in my knowledge of God, I want to know it from people that are in love, not clever. Honestly, guys, I've said it a lot. I'm going to say, I'm so not impressed with knowledge anymore. Knowledge of God that leads me to intimacy, I am impressed with. Because knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. If what we're after is knowledge, it puffs up, but love builds up. You conservative types, I get your world. You conservative types, you need to be undone. Honestly, I know that might scare you, but it's true. You need to be undone. Conservative people are cautious people. And there's nothing about God that you should be cautious of. Why? Why week after week sit at the back, or in the middle, or in the front maybe, and be so nervous of anything that for you might seem to be out of the ordinary? Can I surprise you with a statement or shock you with a statement? God is not ordinary. There's nothing ordinary about Him. He's extraordinary. He's supernatural. If you try and fathom Him with your head, you'll hurt your head. and He'll offend your mind. To you hungry people, this is the promise in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you're hungry, you will be filled. That's the key. You might sit here and say, I'm not hungry. This language unsettles me. That's okay. Thank God He works with us at our pace. It's absolutely fine. But just ask Him to make you hungry. Cheryl will share it tomorrow, but I've watched the hunger levels in my wife grow over the last year. Her prayer in the last 8 months has just been, Lord, make me hungry. And I've watched this thing unfold in my wife. Her hunger for God is such that the restrictions from the past are fast becoming non-issues. That's the key. Just be hungry. Just be hungry. And keep those hunger levels up so that He can keep filling you. So what we want to do now is give God an opportunity to come and flex His muscles. I love what Brad said, and as a co-pastor, I fully understand and submit to what he said, that it's important that we have a cutoff time to tonight. And we've kind of said around 9, we're gonna stop things. But I remember back in the day when Marty and I were in our teens or early 20s, which was a long time ago. We were involved in youth leadership. And at the end of a meeting, a bunch of us hungry animals, wild warriors, when youth was finished, so 9:09 would start round 2. And we would go into what we called, it was a church in Maritzburg called NCF back then, we would go into what we called the dungeon, which is this gloomy, horrible, musty room deep down under. You know, you had to go down like steps and steps and you got to the dungeon. And we'd shut ourselves in, a whole bunch of us. I mean, youth was finished. And we'd pray. Remember, Marty? And we prayed sometimes till 12. Cheryl was a single then. Sorry, that didn't come out too well. But we weren't married then. And so back in Maritzburg, it was safe back then. She would park her car in the middle of Church Street, middle of town, and walk to a venue where a bunch of us maniacs were praying. And we would just pray till, I don't know, again, sometimes maybe 11, 12. We'd go to nightclubs and just go share the love of God. Sometimes God comes after 9. So we're gonna shut things down at 9. But he might want to do something at 10 in you. And we're not going anywhere fast. We're here the whole night, if we need to be. Honestly. And I guess what I'm saying is, we want to honor your time. But hang around if you can. And see what God wants to do.